Getting some members, so I think.
Need to just tell me which one you get. I mean, I know I can look at the back.
So, Mr. Chairman, there might be a little confusion here.
I need to write on here which ones.
Mr. Nauman?
If it's your pleasure to work off the finance package first, the amendment members should be looking at is SCS 3631A-3. The A55 amendment to Senate File 3001 is the policy bill, and I think your intention is to take that up
second.
Take that up.
Okay.
As a secondary amendment. So deal with the finance issues first, right, Mr. Chairman?
That's correct. And now that we have some more members, if Senator Saxog, if you'd move the A5 amendment, then we can hand that out.
So moved.
It has been handed out. Senator Saxog moves the A5 amendment, and this members has several provisions relating to some discussions between this morning and right now, and this is basically an author's amendment with a number of clarifications some agreements. And I'm going to ask Senate staff to go through this so that you can have a good explanation of this, because there are a number of different provisions in it. Mr. Nauman, or who would?
Mr. Chairman, I think it might be appropriate for us to sort of bat it back and forth, since we each worked on different portions of it. I can speak to page 6, line 32, the first portion. This is a technical change that was that corrects the percentage that I mentioned this morning. There was a drafting error on line 6.32. We should have stricken 65, and there should be an underline 73.1. This is a drafting issue from last year's K-12 bill. As we were engrossing some of the changes in the Senate bill with the changes or with the recommendations from the department's policy bill, this somehow got missed.
Okay.
Then I believe section, the next portion of the bill.
Ms. McQuaid. Mr. Chair, members, did you talk about the next section of the amendment, beginning on lines 114 and going all the way through page 6, line 30, is a Senator Carlson bill that was heard in this committee regarding extending levy authority to taxing anticipation borrowing for intermediates. I think
members, if you remember, we heard the bill. This relates to the intermediate school district's ability to use cash anticipation borrowing, similar to school districts, and that it still has the safeguards and protections built in. And I believe Mr. Melcher from the department got up and testified that they can access up to 75% of their anticipation revenue, and most of their, with the new accounting or billing systems that they have in place, a lot of their revenues are coming from the billing directly from the department, and so there is really adequate safeguards built in. Actually, I had forgotten about this amendment or the bill, which I apologize to the author, and I think this is a provision that allows those intermediate districts to operate in a safe way with security and everything.
And Mr. Chair, there was an amendment that was adopted in this committee to that bill, and those changes have been incorporated into the amendment here.
Okay, those are the provisions of the...
One more?
Sorry, I thought you meant all of them.
Mr. Chair, members, on beginning on line 32 on page 6, this was discussed earlier today. There was... this is the section regarding the limitation on the QCOMP districts, and Mr. Melcher had brought up an issue that we might want to change an approved plan to a submitted application to ensure that we're including those districts that have submitted an application but haven't had the plan approved yet by the February 28th date. On line 33 and 34, this was Senator Dahl's amendment last night that changed a portion of the growth model that limited it to the school level, and that just inadvertently got left out of the engrossment, and that's put in here. Section or page 35 or line 35, page 28, section 15 is the limitation on PSEO that students had to apply during 1 month, and that section is deleted from the bill. On page 7, lines 1, 2, and 3 refer to a section 63, and this was a reference under the achievement gap language that referenced. Right now, I'm on the A5 amendment on page 7, lines 1, 2, and 3. There was a reference to section 63, and this was language that was from the policy bill, and this needed to be changed, so it's a technical change to that, so we no longer relate to refer to section 63. And then Mr. Nauman can talk about the reminder.
Okay. Mr. Nauman.
Mr. Chairman and members, the on line 5 of the amendment, we are making some changes to. This is a provision that you had introduced that on the actual A3 amendment extends the time period in which the bonds can be paid off from 10 years to 15. And in that section, there are some defined uses on the previous page, page 40. Which defines the kinds of purposes that these bonds can be used for. The recommendation in this amendment is to add a fifth use, modifying buildings and equipment for security. And so that is the concluding portion. That's the balance of the amendment.
Are there any questions that members have on that? If not, Any one that wants to testify on that or comment? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same sign. Motion is adopted. Okay. Then I think we're...
Okay. Nothing, you're fine.
Then I would like to open it up for other amendments. I don't think we have any prepared technical.
Mr. Chairman, I think that's the technical stuff. Yeah. All right.
Any other amendments that members have? If not, Senator Vonha.
Mr. Chair, I would have had an amendment, so I'll address what I might have offered as an amendment. One of the things that I was concerned about is we increased the amount that the school districts could levy. And so one of the things that I had wished we had done and we had not done, and it was brought to my attention, was also increase the levy limit for the intermediate districts. And so I have...
Least levy, wouldn't it?
The least levy, yes, thank you. So I had discussed that with... Chairman Stumpf, and what we are going to be doing is putting together a group of provisions that relate to levies, and that would be go right to the tax committee. So, yes. Mr. Chair, if you would like to say a little more about that.
Thank you, Senator Bonhoeff. The the progress of this bill, as I mentioned earlier, will be in finance tomorrow morning at 11, along with other finance divisions. And then the finance committee will send this bill to the tax committee, and that will be heard on Tuesday. And so what I'd like to do is there are several levy initiatives that I'd like to sit down and visit with Senator Bach, the chair of the tax committee, and see the flexibility that he would have on levies. I know he's interested, so I'm hoping that we can come to some agreeable or accommodating provision on those levies. And I think that would be the best approach right now. We have maybe, I wouldn't say exhausted our capacity, but at this point, I think we're I certainly need to work with Senator Bach, the chair, and move forward from there.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Schein.
Mr. Chairman, excuse me, are these bills, forgive me if I haven't remembered this, if you've already said it, are these bills going together or separately?
Senator Shai, these bills will be going separately.
Okay.
And
excuse me.
The Finance Committee will incorporate the language of the finance education finance bill into the omnibus finance bill, and then we'll send this bill on its own to the Tax Committee, and then the Tax Committee will hopefully pass this to the floor, and then on the floor, when we take up the omnibus finance bill, this will be amended into the omnibus finance bill.
Which will?
This finance. The E-12 bill will become, the language of the E-12 bill will become the same language as is in the omnibus finance bill, which contains all of the divisions. But the difference is that this bill will go by itself through the tax committee and then to the floor. So,
well, Mr. Chairman, on that, I'm not sure. It seems to me that we discussed the $3 set aside last evening, I think in terms of the policy bill. But you and I have talked about, you know, I kind of wanted to revisit that tonight, but I think I won't offer an amendment, but I think it is pertinent to the finance bill, because if you're talking about levy, then, and we talked about maybe, you know, even increasing that levy, I would just like to say I hope that we would then have the set aside as part of that if there were a possibility of increasing that levy. I mean, we made, was it last year that we added counselors and nurses and those, that group
social
of people,
workers.
Social workers, et cetera. Yeah. And I don't want to go through all those arguments. I know this committee has heard all of that. We rank among the lowest, if not the lowest in the country in terms of ratios of counselors. I mean, and I think back to the counselors that I had in high school, and I think they were such an important aspect of everything from behavior issues to college guidance to, you know, you name it. And I think there's a real need for them. So I'd like to see that we would consider a set-aside, particularly since we made that commitment in language, and I don't know if anybody picked up on it and did it, and started applying that, some of that safe school levy money to those positions that are delineated in that, I think it's subsection like 6. And so I just wanted to put in a word for that and hope that you will.
I definitely will bring that up in as one of the levy issues with
Senator Bach.
With Senator Bach. All right. Senator Skolden.
Mr. Chair, to that point, and Senator Scheid, they have that option now, right? I mean, they can choose to spend all of that levy money on counselors if they want to. Is that?
Senator Scheid.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Skolden, I suppose that's true. I think we need a nudge here. I think that those, and particularly if they increase the levy, I definitely want to see that the set-aside then goes with it, because I don't know that anybody, I don't know if anybody took advantage of it, used safe school levy money. Perhaps Senator Wieger knows the answer to that, if anybody used it for that.
Senator Wieger.
Mr. Chair, Senator Scheid, I believe the impact was minimal by the people that worked so hard to get that provision included, but it's recognized that it's up to the local school board, but the groups that are involved felt they were being shorted.
And then just to follow
Senator
up,
Skolden.
What are we anticipating raising it?
Mr. Chairman, I mean, whatever we would raise it, I would want it to be then set aside for that purpose, for paragraph 6.
Any other discussion? Other amendments? Senator Rummel?
I just would like to reiterate some things that were said last night, and thank you and the committee for the work that you did in getting this together and managing a really good committee. It's been really a pleasure.
Thank you. I wouldn't be able to do it without good committee members. So thank you to all of you. And it's ups and downs, even as of the last few hours. And tomorrow probably won't be smooth sailing either in the Finance Committee. But I do think we made some good decisions in a number of areas. And I think it involves a whole host of areas, from physical fitness to nutrition, to dollars that actually go into the classroom, to the kind of approach we want to look for in terms of growth and testing and reading. I mean, you can just go right down the list, and I think there's some very good provisions throughout the bill or bills that will move education forward. And I think all of us would acknowledge that the resources are quite limited. But certainly I think all of us are looking forward to a better time come the future. So thank you for your hard work and participation. If there's no other amendments to that, to Senate File 3631, I would entertain them. Senator Hand.
I apologize for not getting here right at the start of the meeting, but I do have an amendment to the bill, if it's appropriate to do that. It's the A4 amendment.
Senator Hand moves the A4 amendment. And I realize there's a little bit of confusion because we have two bills that are actually on the floor.
I think, Mr. Chairman, and this is to 3631, I think. So I think I have the right one here. I think, Mr. Chairman, I think it is being distributed, I guess actually this occurred to me last night as we were talking about Senator Dahl's proposal and then also just the general discussion about the relative lack of funds that we have to deal with issues at the local district level, whether they're the cost of fuel oil and diesel fuel for bus transportation or the cost of trying to find ways to provide flexibility with staffing. And I was reminded that a few years ago we had, perhaps in a similar circumstances economically, adopted a provision to take the reserves that are required in law to be set aside for staff development purposes, and we sort of said, let's just make a moratorium on enforcement of that for a couple of years. And so what I've got, this is what this amendment would do, would be to say, let local school districts have some flexibility with these funds and use them in ways that they may wish to. They probably would wish to do some staff development, but they may not wish to do a full 2%, or they may not wish to do it exactly the way that the law currently requires that they do it. And so I think this would give them some flexibility that might be needed under the current circumstances.
Senator Hand, would you entertain limiting it to just 2009? Actually, you're crossing over two bienniums.
Mr. Chairman, certainly. I'd be happy to do that. So I would incorporate into my amendment the deletion of line 1.7 and 2010.
Okay. So
and also striking the letter S and the first years.
The amendment would just include 2009. I believe we've done this before. I can't remember the exact year, but I think when there were some tight budgets. It's not something I think that staff development has been held very sacred by over the years, but I think there's, you know, we have done it in the past. Ms. Allschweiger?
Mr. Chairman, before we do that, I need to incorporate in my amendment also a correction to the title on lines 1.4 and 1.5. The same thing, delete the S on the word years and 1.4, and then delete and 2010 on 1.5.
Senator Hand incorporates that into his amendment. Senator Olson?
Mr. Chairman, is that the correct language to say that you reserve an amount equal to at least zero? I don't understand that, and especially when you throw in the last.
Thank you, Senator Olson. The same thing.
The district in statutory operating debt is exempt from this requirement, that the requirement.
Zero?
I mean,
Mr. Nauman.
I know what you're trying to do, Senator Hand, but it just seems a strange.
Mr. Chairman, how do you? This is a bit unconventional, to say the least, but this is how we did it last time. And I think it might be a residual also from perhaps it originally went through as 1% or a smaller number. And then in conference committee, my memory serves that we then changed it to zero, and rather than redrafting it, we just changed it from one to zero.
So Mr. Chairman, you can't, in other words, you're not going to allow them to reserve a negative amount of money.
That's true. Mr. Chairman and Senator Olson, that's my intent.
Mr. Chair, that was the question we had.
That was my intent, Senator Olson, to not reserve negative amounts. And I had asked for the amendment to be drafted to be identical to the one we had before, so I apologize for the awkwardness of the phraseology.
Hey, Ms. Allschweiger. Please go ahead.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Jan Allschweiger, Education, Minnesota. And, you know, there is some irony here because, first of all, before I explain the irony, Education, Minnesota feels very strongly about staff development revenue. And the reason for that is because we always want to improve the teaching profession, improve the effectiveness of teachers, and you do that by making sure that staff development stays in place. But the irony here is that there already is in statute the ability for the majority of teachers and the school board to waive the 2% staff development set aside, and it has been working. And if there is a reason to do this amendment, it's because the school district does not want to talk to the teachers about the fiscal realities going on in the district and that they want to make a decision unilaterally about not reserving this funding. The additional irony is that many individuals will accuse the teachers' union of trying to have money for salaries. What this is doing is setting aside money for staff development, meaning that there is less money for salaries because teachers value staff development for the purpose of improving teacher effectiveness and student achievement. Education Minnesota will go on record as strongly opposing this. We believe that school districts should have the discussion with the teachers, and there is a provision in law that they could reduce the amount if the vote takes place.
Well, Ms. Alsberger, I was just, we're just trying to look it up, and you probably have that memorized, but isn't the current law a majority of teachers to suspend, or is it just a majority of teachers?
No, Mr. Chair, it's the majority of the, as I recall, it's the majority of teachers and the majority of the school board. It's both.
Under current law?
Yes.
Oh, so it's the same language.
Yes. So what you're really doing is telling the school boards they can do it totally on their own without discussing it with their teachers. And that's where the irony comes in. Because the teachers would be saying, we want to spend more money on, or be able to have the opportunity to spend the money on staff development, because we believe the things that Senator Saltzman is pushing, the things that Senator Rummel, that they're pushing, is all about improving student achievement, and we support those ideals.
So what's the difference here?
Mr. Chair?
Is there a difference between this one?
This one, it's automatically zero. It's zero. The half. Start at zero.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Bonhaus.
Mr. Chair, current law, we begin at 2%, and the majority of the teachers and the majority of the school board can change that and go to zero. But in this case, we're actually beginning at zero, and the majority of the teachers and the majority of the school board would do something other than zero. Okay. And so, Mr. Chair and Senator Hahn, I don't think that is where we want to go, because I think that this has worked well. I know that Hopkins School District, when it was in SOD, they very successfully many times did choose to waive that, but it meant a lot to the teachers and the school board to come together and make that decision. And so I think for us as a state to take a position that it's better to be at zero and then have to negotiate to go up from there does not communicate our respect and value for what staff training and development is. And so I respect that school boards and teachers in tough times will make those right decisions, and I would empower them to do that rather than assume that it's best to be at zero.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hahn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Senator Bonhoff, I my recollection is, and I could be wrong, and maybe Mr. Nauman can correct me, but I think a school district in SOD is relieved of this this obligation to do this, of setting aside 2%, I believe. And maybe Mr. Nauman can correct me. But I appreciate the point. It's not my goal with this, and as I said, I'd ask for the amendment to be drafted the same as it had been the previous time. But it's certainly not my intent to say it has to be zero, and then you have to go through a negotiation to spend more than that. I would prefer to say you're relieved of the obligation to have the 2% and then do whatever you think you want to do. And I don't know what the right language is to do that. So I certainly appreciate the point. I'm not certainly trying to make this, you have to go through a negotiation to get to spend any money on staff development. But I think the larger point is that school districts are certainly aware of the value of staff development, and it is an issue that they can all deal with at their level. And if we agree that there is not a lot of money to offer to school districts to deal with the things that they have to be flexible on, let's give them some flexibility. And this doesn't, my intent is not to prevent them from taking 2%, but just to say in the case where they have other things they think are more important, to give them at least the flexibility for a period of time to do that. So maybe council can suggest some language to prevent the problem that Senator Bonhoff has raised, because that's certainly not my intent.
Okay, Senator Bonhoff.
Mr. Chair, Senator Hahn, and Mr. Nauman, right now, the way current law is, if a school district and, you know, the teachers and the board vote to waive it, can they go down to zero, or do they have to only go down to 1%? What is current law?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Bonhoff, of course, they can go to zero if they both agree to. There's an escape clause. And to Senator Hand's question earlier, a school district and an SOD is exempt from this requirement if they choose.
And Mr. Chair, Senator Hand, when Hopkins did that, they weren't yet in SOD, so that is why they were doing that. They're trying to stay out of SOD. So I guess given that school districts have the flexibility under current law to go down to zero, I don't see the need for the amendment.
Senator Rummel.
Mr. Chair and members, and I'm very sensitive to the issue that Senator Hand is bringing up. I think one of the things we have to keep in front of our minds is that the MCA 3s will be taken by this year's current fifth graders. Between now and the next couple of years, every single grade level will have to advance the kind of mathematics they are teaching 1 year earlier in the curriculum. This is a huge burden on the teaching staff. I'm a fifth grade teacher of mathematics. This year I'm going to be teaching sixth grade mathematics. That needs professional development to happen. We want our students to do well on those MCA 3s when they come forward. I support those very high standards, but we have to send a message to our we shouldn't be sending a message that we can let go of such an important part of preparing our teachers to prepare our students for those high standards. So I even think for this coming year it's the wrong message to send.
Okay. Ms. Schwab.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. Grace Schwab with the Minnesota School Boards Association. And I want to be clear that this is only setting aside the requirement to set this money in a reserved account. It doesn't mean it won't be spent on professional development, but the requirement to set it aside, it's a reserve account that would be freed by this. And folks, it's dire times. When districts face dire times, for example, Brainerd, who laid off 90 teachers and closed two schools, sometimes having a teacher in the classroom with the children is the best thing we can do. This is not a choice I think anybody comes willingly to. A lot of the problems we've discussed, that you've discussed the last couple days, are because of lack of funding for education. It's not something anybody comes willingly to, and this would give us the flexibility for 1 year to address these kinds of problems until we get into another funding year. But we're in a 1% year that we received from the legislature this year. And increasing mandates as well as testing requirements with our kids. And I think the more flexibility granted to districts, the better. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Good. Thank you, Senator Wergen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Ms. Schwab. The part that I'm not getting, and I remember bloodying my forehead on a cement wall over this one once before, so the part that I'm not getting is that this doesn't seem to do what Senator Hand wants, and what you want to accomplish and what Senator Hand wants to accomplish can already be done in law. So I'm not Senator Hand, I really don't get this one.
Well, and Mr. Chairman and Senator
Hand,
and I just was talking to Mr. Nauman, and we're going to try to draft some language. My intent was to say, let's relieve the district of the obligation of a mandated 2% set aside for staff development and give them flexibility to do whatever they desire by board action. And Senator Bonhoff pointed out a true thing, that if this amendment is adopted as written, they would have to adopt zero and then do this majority vote to get to spend anything. And I don't want to do that. I guess I just had asked for the language that was similar to when we had done this before. And I just had assumed that it was flexible, and I hadn't seen the old language. So this just came up, I guess, in our conversations we had yesterday at committee and last night. So Mr. Nauman is working on drafting some language that would do what I intended to do, which is simply to say in this one year that we're going to be dealing with financial constraints, that a board can choose to not spend 2%. And also, there's other requirements in the law that require how that money is to be spent. And we'd relieve them of that obligation as well for 1 year, just to give boards and school districts flexibility to say, gee, we might have to do something extraordinary. And this is not at all to suggest, members, that staff development isn't critical, important. I believe it is. But I also believe that local school boards know this and that they also know their staff and they also know what their priorities are. And so rather than have us here tell everybody in the school system across the state that we know that your priority has to be this, let's give them a little flexibility during this period of financial constraint and say, we trust you, locally elected officials, of which I used to be one, to make good decisions. Let's see if we can find a way to do that.
Senator Clark.
Mr. Chair and Senator Hand, I guess just to kind of build off of what both Senator Wirken and Senator Rummel said in kind of different ways, what troubles me with going this route, and I understand what you're trying to do, is that we've spent the whole session this year and last year talking about how are we going to have our teachers be at the highest level? How are we going to have our teachers be high performing? How are we going to thinking about how we're doing reviews? How are we going to have new expectations? And it is partially about the MCAs, but if we are saying that we're going to not have that commitment, and again, they locally can undo this if they want to, but what does that say about us? Is it just lip service that we're going to say we want our teachers to be highly competent, highly trained, learn new ways of doing reading, among other things, but we're not expecting to do this? And, you know, as we have capped QComp in this bill, and I do think in these times, Ms. Schwab, that was our attempt to say, look, there is some money that's not being used. Let's use it to put out to the districts so they have flexibility. For those districts that don't have it, in particular, this money is so important to be having our teachers get to gain those skills, to enhance them. It is so counterintuitive to me to do this, especially when under current law they can do it. So I appreciate what you're going after, Senator Hand, I'm going to have to vote against this because I just think it's going backwards from what we've been saying we think is important and what the governor's saying he thinks is important.
Senator Hamm.
Mr. Chairman and members, Mr. Nauman has given me some advice here on how to make this be a little bit less convoluted. And in addition to the original oral amendments to change the years to year as Senator Stumpf has recommended, if you would look at line 1.7 and strike the last three words where it says at least zero and replace with the word two, T-W-O, so it would read, a school district must reserve an amount equal to 2% of the basic revenue, and then further down on line 1.9, strike a majority to the end of that line, and on line 1.10, the first two words, district and. So it would read, a district may waive this requirement by a majority vote of the school board, and then delete the last sentence, which Mr. Nauman has suggested is not necessary in this if this were to be adopted. So the amendment would apply for 1 year, 2009, where it says a school district must reserve an amount equal to 2% of its basic revenue, and a district may waive this requirement by a majority vote of the board. That's my new, corrected, simplified, approved, good housekeeping seal of approval.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Scheid.
Mr. Chairman. Then, Senator Hand, is it that they must reserve it for, they must reserve 2% for 1 year? And they may waive this requirement only for that 1 year. I don't know if that needs to be more clearly stated or not.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Scheid, yes. It would say, notwithstanding Section 1, for fiscal year 2009 only, a school district must reserve 2%, but can set that aside by a majority vote of the board.
Okay. Members, I think we...
What is 122A?
Senator Bonhoff.
Mr. Chair, Senator Hand, I still oppose the amendment, and the reason I oppose the amendment is because who the amendment takes out of the equation in this revised amendment are the teachers, and when we are dealing with these cuts, you know, those most affected and those in those crowded classrooms and those being laid off are the teachers. And so I trust that when they're looking at should we set this money aside or should I be laid off, they're going to come to the right conclusion. And I think that they're partners with the board. And so I think that to say only the board gets the vote rather than the board in partnership with the teachers takes away that important relationship that is especially important during tough times.
And Mr. Chairman,
Senator Hand.
And Senator Bonhoff. I understand that in all organizations, not only school districts, but all organizations have a partnership relationship with their employees and the people who are responsible for managing that organization. And the school board is elected by the people in the community, and their duty is to act as a fiduciary agent to be responsible for the educational project as well as the financial management of the district. And all we're saying is that, yes, we certainly have a process in law today. I would suggest that is not an easy process to accomplish, that it would likely take a significant amount of time and investment on the part of not only time but also energy and distraction from the projects that are probably more important, such as educating students. And while that may be very valuable, and I don't deny that, if you are trying to address a problem in a short time frame, you might want to give some power and flexibility to a duly elected board that has been authorized to manage this and certainly has every concern, as much as we do, about the morale of their teachers and staff and the political situation in their district. And I don't think that we should prejudge their judgment. And so all I'm suggesting is let's give them some flexibility, given the constraint that we have, to make a decision and trust their judgment.
Mr. Chairman?
Hey, members, we need a vote on this. Senator Olson?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I think it may be the situation that they may feel that saving a couple more teachers is more important for that 1 year and in the best interest of children than having that set aside. That's what it could boil down to in a year when we're having some difficulty. And is it more important for kids to have those extra teachers in it instead of losing ground and having higher class size?
Okay. I think we all understand what it is. The current law that has its flexibility. And this, where you'd have the vote of the the board. So, on Senator Hand's motion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No. No.
Motion does not prevail. All right. Any other amendments to Senate File 3631? Senator Bonhoff, do you want to move that?
I move that Senate File 3631 be passed as amended.
We recommend to pass and re-refer.
And be re-referred to the Committee of Finance.
Senator Hoff moves that Senate File 3631 as amended be passed and referred to Finance, Committee on Finance. Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same motion. Motion prevails. Thank you, members. And
wow.
Everyone. And now we have one other. Members, would you indulge about 3 minutes or 5 minutes at max on an issue that has come up to a number of members relating to the special education funding? What I'd like to do is invite Dr. Melcher and to kind of walk us through that. And our office has been getting calls. I think all of you, or a number of you, have been getting calls. And I'd like to just go back and kind of talk about what has happened from last year to this year and what the department is, how the department is involved in trying to get things straightened out. So, Dr. Melcher.
Mr. Chairman and members, thank you. My name is Tom Melcher. I'm the finance director at the Department of Education. I have provided you with a memo describing some of the changes in special education aid. Just very very briefly, we know that special education funding was a very high priority for the Senate and for the legislature. This past legislative session, we did provide a 27% increase in special education funding this past legislative session. I know that the goal of the Senate committee at the early in the session and when the K-12 bill came out of Senate committee was to fully fund the special education formula. The target that was set at the time was sufficient to eliminate the gap in funding based on the old special education formula, which funded 68% of the costs in the second prior year. However, the bar was raised
Excuse
in terms
me,
of funding.
Dr. Boucher, I would ask that members, listen, because you're probably going to get a call if you haven't already gotten a call relating to special education funding. So I apologize for interrupting you, but this is an important issue and one that I think every school district is encountering.
Mr. Chairman, the changes that were made in special education funding this past year raised the bar in terms of the state's commitment to funding special education by increasing or changing the funding formula from a second prior year funding basis, funding 68% of the cost from 2 years ago, to instead funding 68% of the cost in the current year. And because we do have inflation, that costs more money. But there was not additional funding put into the K-12 bill to cover that additional cost of the covering 2 years of inflation. And in addition to that, there was a need to look at the general education formula as well as the special education formula. And so in the conference committee, there were some dollars taken out of the Senate's level of funding for special education in order to accommodate the 1% on the formula in the second year of the biennium. And as a result of that, we knew at the end of the legislative session that we did not have sufficient dollars to fully fund the special education formula, that there would, in fact, be proration, something in the neighborhood of 88-89%. And we did notify all the school districts of that situation at the end of the legislative session, and that was reflected in the runs that we did for school districts at the end of the legislative session. In the February forecast this past year, and I should also add that all of the data runs done during the session this past year were based on 2006 data. We didn't have final data for 2007. The school year wasn't over at that time. In order to calculate our projected proration rate for 2008, we had to make an estimate as to what the state average growth in special education costs would be. We used a 4.5% a year estimate in terms of the cost of special education and about a 7% a year estimate of increased cost in transportation, which is also part of the special education formula. When the actual data came in at the end of the 2007 school year, the actual cost increases were a little more than 5%. So at the present time, we're projecting that special education aid will be prorated somewhere between 86% and 87%. So it's a little bit worse than we thought at the end of the legislative session as a result of costs growing more rapidly in special education than we anticipated at the end of the session. On the second page of the memo, we talk a little bit about the computer runs that we did at the end of the session and how the actual payments for special education this current year compare with those. The end of session runs, as I said, were based on what the school districts were spending in 2006. We projected a 4.5% increase for every school district in the state to get an estimate of what they would be spending in 2008, and we used that to do the runs, and we applied the proration to that number. In reality, when we come to actually funding the school districts, we fund them based on what they're actually spending in 2008 and not based on an estimate of what the funding would be. And at this point, we don't have the actual expenditures for the current year. We have estimates that have been provided by the school districts. And what we have found during the course of the year is that many school districts have made estimates that we believe are quite low in terms of what their actual expenditures will be. And I believe this is a residual effect of many years of funding based on second prior year data, where it was not important to get your data in early in order to ensure that you had a smooth flow of cash during the year, because it is a lot of work to enter data on all of your individual special education teachers and the line items for supplies and the contracts and so forth. So what we found is that across the state, if we add up all of the estimated expenditures for special education, school districts have estimated that they're spending significantly less in 2008 than they spent in 2007. But we know that's not really true. They're going to be spending more in 2008 than they spent in 2007. But the payments right now are based on what the districts estimated, because that's the information that we have. And because of the variation between what the districts have estimated they're spending and this kind of statewide assumption that we had to use to make the runs at the end of the legislative session, that is creating some significant differences between the aid payments that we are currently making and what we projected at the end of the legislative session. When all is said and done, we will spend exactly the $694 million that was appropriated. Right now, we're spending about $630 million of that because the district estimates are substantially lower, you know, like 10% lower than what we projected they will be at. And as a result of that, the payments going out to many districts are a lot lower than what was expected in the runs. At the end of the session, at the end of the year, we'll settle up when we get the final data. And some districts will have had more than a 10% increase in cost over 2 years, and those districts will get a bigger increase than what we projected in the runs at the end of the session. Some districts will have a smaller increase in cost, and those districts will get less, because ultimately we've got a fixed amount of money to spend, and the dollars are going to be allocated to the districts based on what their actual expenditures are during 2008. We have done quite a bit of work in the department to keep the districts informed of this early on during the course of the year. When we saw that the estimates were low, we wanted to ensure that districts would continue to receive cash flow. And so we calculated a temporary increase in the proration factor in order to make sure the cash was still flowing out to the districts. But as we got later on into the school year, we recognized that we couldn't continue to overestimate the proration factor because that would run a major risk of overpaying districts. And so in February, we went back and put the 88% proration factor into the payment structure, and that stimulated a lot of calls from school districts saying, gee, my payments have been cut. And what we've done since then is we've sent a memo out to each school district and told them, here's the expenditure data you gave us for 2007. Here's what you've given us so far for 2008. And we did some comparisons, like, you know, in your case, District X, you're reporting that you're spending 10% less than you did last year. Please look at your data and let us know if there have been corrections. And we have received a lot of corrections in the last few weeks as districts are looking at that data. And so I think we're on the road to getting the aid calculations more accurate than they have been during the year. But you know, one thing that I need to caution you on is that the runs that we do for special education will never be as precise as the runs that we do for general education, because for general education, you're basing most of the funding on the number of kids, and it's just a lot easier to project how many kids you're going to have 2 years down the road than it is to project what your expenditures are going to be for special education, because you don't know who's going to move into the district or some of those unique things, and that just makes it a little bit more difficult to have the runs that we do 1 year line up perfectly with what the expenditures are 2 years later.
Dr. Melcher, that was an excellent explanation.
Thank you.
And it seems like this will actually start clarifying itself over time as the districts get their data into the department.
Yes.
And at the end of the year, it certainly will have balanced out.
Mr. Chair, yes.
Any questions that members have? Thank you for putting this together.
Welcome.
I'm going to ask Senator Bonhoff to chair the remaining of the other bill. So.
Okay.
Senator Weaker,
Madam Chair, I believe 3001 was laid on the table, so I would move to take it off the table.
Senator Weaker moves to take 3001 off the table. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is passed.
Madam Chair, we'll entertain amendments.
Madam Chair.
We didn't do any testimony.
Members, we have not taken testimony on this bill. Let's have very brief testimony, but if there are people here who would like to testify, please approach. And members, and I'd like to remind you that we have heard this bill in policy, and I believe you've testified before the policy committee, so please do keep your comments very brief.
Extremely brief, Madam
Chair. Thank you.
Dr. Karen Ephraim with EdWatch. I'm not going to go over lots of issues, but I just wanted to bring up a couple of things in relation to the chairman and the committee's very correct concerns about mandates and unfunded mandates in this, in these very tight budgetary times. And I also wanted to bring up something, especially in light of the testimony you just heard from Dr. Melcher regarding special education. There is new language on page 9, line 19 and 20, that says, with appropriate alternate achievement standards based on these academic standards for students with individualized education plans as described under federal law. Now, I know that you may be trying to make things easier, but I am concerned about the potential for allowing more children to be labeled as needing special education, again, so that they can have alternative standards, alternative assessments, and in the effort to comply with the very draconian AYP requirements of No Child Left Behind. And I just question the wisdom of having something that may have such a drastic unintended consequence. Also, the language in Article 3 regarding the diagnosis of ADHD, I did testify on that, but again, want you to consider, as the budgetary times are so tight, that if you do things that make it easier to label kids for special education, you're going to be running into fiscal issues as well as all of the other issues related to special education. And then,
Dr. Ephraim, excuse me, given that you have shared all this information with this committee before, is there anything new that you'd like to add tonight?
Yes, just two brief other things. The physical education requirement I did not testify on. Both the standards and the half credit requirement. Again, there was grave concern in the House when they put together their omnibus bill, and actually this whole provision was removed because of bipartisan concern for the mandate of having districts develop these standards now in these budgetary times, and also requiring the credit just with the length of the school day and the potential for having to cut other courses and electives and those types of things.
Thank you.
I wanted to bring that up, and I would just say the same for the family life and sexuality education. Also going on record that we oppose it for other reasons that have been well elucidated.
Thank you, Dr. Ephraim. Any other people who wish to testify at this time? Okay. Amendments. Senator Hand.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. At the risk of putting this through deja vu all over again, as Jogi Berra would say. We had talked about the other night in this committee an amendment to delete the article, the comprehensive sex ed article that was added. And at that time, that amendment failed on a tie vote. And since that time, one of the members who voted against my amendment has indicated that she would wish to change her vote, and I don't think it's appropriate to ask for a reconsideration of a vote. And so I have an amendment that is the A58 amendment that would give us an opportunity to allow that member to change their vote if they so desire. And since it was a tie last time, I'm hoping that if everyone votes the same way they did last time, that with any luck will prevail. So the A58 that also needs to have an oral amendment added to it, Madam Chair, that would we need to delete. The oral amendment is on page 34, delete section 33, which is the repealer portion of the amendment that was added.
Senator Hand moves the A58 amendment. Discussion. Senator Torres-Ray.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think that we had ample opportunity to talk about this. I really oppose this amendment, and I know that the author of this provision has worked very hard, very, very hard, to get input from parents, to work with schools, to work with communities, to get us to a place where we can really put some language in statute that could really give us good information, implement a good process for educating our children. And I feel very strongly that we have to respect that. We need to oppose this amendment. We can have this conversation in the floor with others, with the author present, and I think it's very important that that we respect this process and that we defeat this amendment and move forward with what we had and continue to have this conversation in the floor when we can be together and be with the author and all the people who work on this provision for many, many hours and I think days. So I strongly oppose this amendment.
Senator Hand, did you want to incorporate your oral amendment at this time so we know what we're
Madam Chair, yes, thank you. And about. Members, very simply, to add it to the A58 is just an additional line that would say page 34, delete section 33, which is the portion that repeals current law that applies to, the teaching of sexually transmitted disease.
Senator Roebling and then Senator Wergen.
Thank you. And everyone will know soon that I'm the person who changed my mind. And I want to explain why, and maybe this will even convince some other members. When I was reading this, which I never really heard a lot of testimony on, I was really impressed with Subdivision 2 and 3, which said that basically school districts had to consult with parents and their communities in order to put together their sexual education curriculum. And then they had to notify parents and tell the parents that they had an option to, they could opt out of this. And I thought, you know, then we could really get a program that reflects the community values. But it was later pointed out to me that up here on line 1713 to 1715, that it really doesn't work that way because we're telling them basically what they have to teach. And so if a community, for example, really had gone through this process of bringing in families, bringing in their community, and they really decided they only wanted to teach abstinence, they aren't permitted to under this. And so that is troubling to me that isn't an option available to them. And I think the reason I was supporting it is because I thought this could be set up as a community-valued sexual education program. But the prior language doesn't really allow that because it does direct what they have to teach. And so I support Senator Hand's amendment because it is a mandate on communities that I didn't see when we first talked about it, that we're telling them pretty much what they have to teach.
Senator Bergen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll keep it very short. Just referring to the same 17.13 to 17.15, if you have a small rural district where 80% of the families are Catholic families that don't believe in contraceptives, which the Catholic Church does not, they absolutely would not be able to teach abstinence only in their school, so they couldn't do what the parents want under this amendment.
Thank you. Well, members, as Chair Stump pointed out the last time we discussed this, I suspect everybody does know how they're going to vote, so let's go ahead and get this vote done. So all those in favor of Senator Hand's amendment, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No. No.
Motion does not prevail.
Division.
All those in favor of Senator Hand's amendment, raise your hand. Opposed? It does not pass.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Yes. Senator Anderson,
it was.
I'm sorry. 8-9.
Madam Chair, I have the A63 amendment.
Senator Anderson moves the A63 amendment.
Somebody had to put some money on the screen.
So you gain one, you lose another.
Chair, shall I?
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is language related to care and treatment of a child with a disability or without a disability who's placed in care and treatment in terms of responsibilities of the district and transportation. And this language was in the first and second engrossment of the policy bill and was originally an amendment to the MDE bill. I guess there was some confusion about whether it had a fiscal or distributional impact. And I believe that the department has confirmed it does not. And I'm wondering if we could have them come up just to confirm that for us. That would be great. But let me just explain the language. As I understand it, the language is supported by the department, by the advocates, the PACER and NAMI, among others, and other education groups. It clarifies how the department is currently implementing the statute when someone other than the district places a student in treatment. It does not change what district is. Yeah, I shouldn't read. It doesn't change responsibilities that a district already has for paying for transportation. Districts already provide and will continue to provide reasonable transportation for children when they're placed in care and treatment. It reiterates that districts want to know when a student is placed so that they can be involved and work with the parents and the students to help them get the educational services they need. So, Madam Chair, I wonder if we could ask someone from the department to clarify.
Dr. Melcher, thank you.
Madam Chair and members, Tom Melcher with the Department of Education. We have reviewed this language and confirmed that there is no fiscal impact, and the department does not have an issue with the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would move the amendment. I don't know if there's questions.
Any questions? Anyone wishing to testify or against? Senator Anderson moves the A63 amendment. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion is passed. Senator Anderson.
Madam Chair, I have one other amendment. Can I offer that now unless there's other people waiting?
Senator Anderson.
It's the A53 amendment.
Senator Anderson offers the A53 amendment.
I decided to do you almost talked me out of it.
Senator Anderson, this is the A59 amendment.
Oh, I'm sorry. It must have changed since yesterday. Apologies.
Senator Anderson offers the A59 amendment.
Thank you.
Members, this is a very simple amendment that relates to recess. And it says very simply that in elementary school, a district cannot take away recess as and do that as a form of discipline. I, you know, at first glance, this may sound like a frivolous issue, but it's not a frivolous issue. And, you know, members, we've spent countless hours discussing a lot, a big range of policy options available to us to ensure that our children get exercise and physical activity incorporated into their daily lives and into their school lives. And this is the simplest and cheapest way to make sure that that happens. And the reality is it's not happening. In many cases, and I've heard story after story and report out from many, many different people that it's just a common practice to use recess as a way of, as a consequence for children. And I am very supportive of teachers having, they have to have consequences. They have to have the ability to discipline their children in their classroom in a way that uses positive or negative reinforcement, as the case may be. But to me, taking away recess is kind of like taking away lunch. It's counterproductive, and it's really kind of a necessity for children to exercise. And this is the way that they do it when they don't have gym class every day, and they don't have gym class in every school. So it's a simple thing. It kind of speaks for itself, members. So I would urge you to support this amendment.
Senator Bergen.
Well, Madam Chair, Senator Anderson, I get what you're trying to do, because if you'd have denied my son recess, the whole afternoon would have been way worse than the morning.
Exactly.
That's just the fact. But at the same time, isn't this kind of micromanaging a school district? And I don't want the legislature to micromanage what a school district decides to do for discipline.
Senator Anderson.
Madam Chair, Senator Wergen, I can't really argue with you, and I don't like doing amendments like this if they're not necessary. But I've become convinced it's necessary to set a policy like this because, and I don't want to pick on a particular district, but I know that my district has a policy against this, for example, and I think probably a lot of districts do. And I'd be curious to know what teacher education is. I imagine this is not considered a best practice for teachers.
Policy against your amendment?
No. I imagine my district has a policy not to take away recess as a form of discipline. And I imagine that when teachers are trained, they're trained to use sophisticated ways of using positive or negative reinforcement with their children. And I bet this is not, I don't know if this is recommended in best practices for teachers, but the fact is that teachers all over the state do this every day. They take away recess for children if there's a few kids being too noisy in the lunchroom or if someone hasn't done their homework, they take away their recess. And Senator Wergen, you said it all when you said that the consequences for that is children who are not able to sit still and learn, and children who don't get any physical activity during that long day of school. And I think it's an important part of our policy discussion when we're talking about getting physical activity. Let's not start by taking it away.
And Senator Wergen, we've often said we had similar sons, and so my son did lose recess a lot, and it did hurt his afternoons. But go ahead, Senator Wergen.
Well, Madam Chair, Senator Anderson, I was indicating that the teachers were punishing themselves by making my child stay in at noon.
Senator Hand.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. This is exactly the example of things that we should not do. This is not a school board. We are not a school board. We are replacing the judgment of ourselves for the judgment of other elected officials who have been elected by the same people that elect us to manage a school district. And we are saying they are not competent to decide whether or not recess is an appropriate policy to have as a deprivation as part of their disciplinary structure. That's not our job. We shouldn't do it. We should exercise some restraint. We hear a lot of people talk about we're all for local control, but here we're saying we can't even trust school boards to decide that recess isn't an appropriate disciplinary thing. This is not acceptable, members. We should not do this. This is not our role. They may make decisions we disagree with. That's okay, isn't it? Or do they have to all agree with what we think? I believe that the school board will know if a child shouldn't be disciplined in this way or should. Let's let them make this decision. Let's not do this. This is excessive and beyond, I would argue, the scope of what this committee is required to do.
Senator Roebling and then Senator Saltzman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I agree with Senator Hand, and we were debating this yesterday. My daughter is a first grade teacher, and if she doesn't let kids who have caused trouble in the classroom out for recess, she loses her prep time because she keeps them in her classroom. It's not something they do lightly, but for some kids, this works. For some kids, it may not work. But that individual classroom teacher often knows better than anybody what works or what doesn't to modify behavior that is inappropriate. And I guess I just think we should not be telling them from a state mandate that they can't do this. I just think we have to leave it up to the principals and the school boards and the teachers too. I would like them to work this out among themselves.
Senator Saltzman.
Well, you know, perhaps, Madam Chair, as a compromise, and I'm sure the School Board Association will not like this, but to at least acknowledge that we think it's something that's worthy of discussion is that a school board or school district must develop a policy regarding denying a student's participation in recess as a form of discipline. It's not an oral amendment. That's of discussion, perhaps, if it's something that at least it raises the issue for a school district. So I'm trying to find compromise here.
Senator Anderson.
Madam Chair, I just wanted to point out that I know of at least 5 states that actually have a law or a policy like this on the books at the state level that prohibits excluding students from recess as a punishment for bad behavior. And I just think we need to set a policy in our state that children need to go outside and play once a day. And I don't care how we do it. Senator Saltzman, I'd be open to do it your way, but I guess I don't know that you offered an amendment, so.
Senator Weaker.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I would respect Senator Anderson's concern, but agree with Senator Hahn as to the jurisdiction most appropriately being with the school board. An example that I thought of is, what if a student is roughhousing out on the playground or, you know, bullying others, and that happens? Then we have restricted a disciplinary action by saying you can't be removed from that playground. That could happen, and it is sometimes an action for discipline. So you've raised the issue, and I would suggest that we proceed with the vote.
Okay. So Senator Anderson moves the A58 amendment. Yes, Senator Anderson.
Madam Chair, I guess what I would say in response, 59. Senator Weaker makes a reasonable point, I think. But I guess I would ask members to pass this amendment, get it in the bill, and then continue to have some discussion about this, because it may be something that needs refinement. But I honestly believe this is the right thing for us to be talking about at the state level, that it's an important issue, and we need to hear from districts about why we can't do this.
No, Madam Chair.
Yes.
Madam Chair, Senator. I wasn't going to say anything because I shared with Senator Anderson earlier, but I thought about it, and I was thinking that I snuck a whole class of kids out, but I didn't. I spoke to the principal first. I thought about that. The whole class had been punished. No recess for a week. And it was my very first substitute assignment. That week I got my hair checked for lice. In that classroom. I was there for 3 days. And there was a lockdown over a threat of a child in the classroom where I was, where a parent was making noise like they might kidnap their own child. And I had a chair fly across the room on 3 consecutive days. And my kids, 8-year-olds, couldn't go out. So I did negotiate with the principal, and I took them out. And I'm remembering now we went out, and they had to pantomime. They couldn't talk. And they had more fun, and they didn't scream and shout, and they weren't wild and pushing each other because they couldn't talk. And I'll tell you, I learned the importance of getting kids out and running around. You know, shouting is probably important too, but they couldn't do that. I'm going to support Senator Anderson's motion because I think it's just flat out wrong to do what was happening to those kids. And some of the problems in the classroom actually had to do with the fact that they had been there for 2 days already without recess by the time I got there. So anyway, and then Senator Anderson keeps talking, you know, with people, and I like what Senator Saltzman said about at least raising the discussion. There'll be some discussion about this just by virtue of the fact that that we're considering this, and especially if it goes in the bill. I understand the local control issues, but I think the discussion's important enough.
Senator Scogin.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I love local control as much as anyone, and think Senator Hand made some great points, and I'm going to support the amendment.
Senator Anderson renews her motion on the A58. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion passes.
Division?
All those in favor, raise your hand. Raise them high, members.
Or you can't go out.
Or you can't sit at the table all night.
Opposed?
Probably enough.
Motion is passed, 10-7.
Got
it. Okay. Next amendment. Senator Saltzman.
Well, you know, Madam Chair, after we've had that vote, I would like to bring up the physical education requirement that was added to this bill. And we've had some really good discussion in this committee.
Do you have an amendment, Senator
Saltzman?
Well,
I'm leading into that. I'm leading in. I do have several amendments. I have some options. Because I really want to go back to the discussion that we had about this, and that we've talked a lot today about health, hours about health. We've talked about obesity of children. But at the same time, I think we had a really good discussion in this committee when this bill was brought forward by Senator Tomasoni about also the challenges that this particular requirement will mean for some of our schools. And I think I gave a very good example of what happens in schools as we have sometimes shortened days. We put more requirements for students. We look at our colleges, and they're requiring 4 years of math, 4 years of foreign language, 4 years of all these things. And students are having to look, you know, across in those districts that have these requirements, what are their options to meet this requirement and also participate in a rigorous program. And this amendment does not, or this particular bill, what I'm disappointed in is that we've talked a lot about what those challenges are, and there's no way out. There's no way out for a parent who wants their child, who does not believe that their child has a health or obesity problem. They're involved in after-school sports. They're involved as a family, as a community. There's no way out for that child. They're going to have to make choices that are academic. So I'm very concerned that when this was added, none of that, if this was any other bill and there had been those issues raised, we would have said, go out in the hall and work this out. And nothing has been worked out on this. And I think that we talk about the unfunded mandates. And for school districts that may now have to require this, you know, is it going to require additional dollars to offer options as my child, you know, had online physical education? You know, what kind of options? I'm hearing about school districts that are offering four-week courses in physical education going 4 hours a week. I believe in Hastings, you can go for 4 hours a day for four days a week for 4 weeks, and you have this condensed physical education. So you've met the requirement. I don't know that really addresses childhood obesity. So, you know, I wish we could go back and have a longer discussion about how we're really going to do this. And I think I posed a portfolio or how we have kids involved across the board. But I am concerned about, you know, there's no way out. So my first, like, you know, oral amendment would be to take this out. But I have some options as well in terms of amendments that would allow parents to, you know, suggest that their child, you know, to have a waiver that their child.
Excuse me, Senator Saltzman is talking about on page
12.4 through 12.6.
On page 8?
On page, well, I think it's on page 12. Is it?
Page 12, thank you.
My first suggest, I'm just trying to get some discussion here on lines 12.4 through 12.6 to remove the new language.
Delete section 5. That's what you want
to do. Is that on page 12? Mm-hmm. Okay. So I guess but I have some options where parents or that school districts could ask to have this waived for a couple years. But for parents, I think we've talked about, you know, choice and parents' choice. And if students are having to make academic choices to fulfill this requirement, I'm concerned when we do have kids involved in after-school sports. So this is sort of a money issue.
Excuse me, Senator Saltzman. Yeah. I'd like a clarification from council.
Madam Chair, it depends on the intent, but we wouldn't, at least for this section, you delete the entire section. If you want to delete all the sections that were part of the FIAD bill, there's several sections in this article, so it would be more than just that one.
Okay.
It just depends on what the Senator wants to do.
So,
Senator Saltzman, what is your intention?
My intention is to remove the requirement that a half credit of physical education be required for graduation.
Let's move section. Madam Chair and members, in that would be on page 11, delete section 5.
So just clean the entire section.
So Senator Saltzman's moving an oral amendment to delete section 5 on page 11 and page 12.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Senator Olson.
Madam Chair, on page 9, satisfy the subdivision in one half credit physical education requirement. It's also in section 2. You may want to. If you're going to delete, you may want to do both of them.
And Madam Chair,
but except I am not. I believe that if we kept in line 8.30, I think it's fine to develop the academic standards. I'm just concerned about the requirement for graduation.
Senator Olson,
Madam Chair, read the language on page 9, lines 3-4.
Senator Olson is correct. It's referring to
physical ed requirement.
Yeah, so Senator Saltzman.
Okay.
Yes. Ms. Yonker.
Madam Chair, members, and to add to Senator Saltzman's amendment, then in page 9, line 3, delete everything after subdivision, and then page 9, line 4, delete everything before the. So then it would just read to satisfy this subdivision, the state physical education standard, and then go on the rest of the way.
I think members understand what Senator Saltzman is proposing. Discussion? Senator Torres-Ray.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Senator Saltzman, I do understand, you know, the issue of the mandate, but I'm strongly opposing this amendment. I think it's very important that we encourage activity in the schools. You probably know that I was the one who worked for 9 months on this child obesity prevention for our healthcare bill. We heard testimony from doctors, pediatricians, teachers, experts in this field. There is a direct correlation between obesity and lack of activity. And it was interesting because for me to hear your testimony about your daughter kind of affirm the need to have this language in statute, that your daughter took this credit online for physical activity. I thought it was very ironic that the schools can do that, you know, that you can do this online, when in fact what we're really trying to get kids to do is to get them outdoors, to enjoy, you know, nature and connect with the trees and the frogs. It is very important that we do that. Kids are not doing that. They are spending a lot of time in front of the computers. And, you know, if schools are going to offer physical activity credits online just to save money, we're going to have to pay a lot of money to deal with their with our children's chronic diseases that are related to lack of activity. And so I really would like to encourage members not to delete this language. We can talk about this the floor again. You know, I just hate to. So much work went into putting this language into this bill. And I agree with some of your arguments about saving money, but it's very hard to impose these mandates on the schools and not give them the money. But I'd rather have you here arguing for the money to get it done rather than, you know, protecting them from getting something that you and I know this needs to be done. We should be fighting for the funding so that kids can get out and enjoy nature. That's what we need to be doing rather than saying, don't do anything because you really don't have the money to do these things that we know are the right things to do. So I would like to encourage you not to put this amendment in here and leave the physical education requirement because we need to move in that direction.
Excuse me, Madam Chair.
Senator Saltzman.
What I wanted to make a point of, Senator, is that there were some issues raised about exemptions and what many parents are going through. If you're in a district that has room in their schedule to accommodate all the academic requirements and have room for electives, I have no problem with this. But when we have school districts that are cutting the number of periods in their day and you don't have room for electives, there's really no way for a student to meet this. You can take other classes online, but I think taking physical education is rather silly. But that's some of the options that parents have, or taking it as a summer course, or coming in early. And so there's no way out. I went through statute and tried to find ways for my daughter to get, you know, credit by assessment or other things, and physical education. I just feel that we're asking a lot of school districts when it's local control. And frankly, I'm disappointed in, like, the medical community for not really stepping up on this and what they're doing to deal with this as well. And so what we do, we'll dump it on our schools. That's just my concern, is that if we really want to deal with this, then we should be dealing it with our communities. We should be dealing with it with some of really talking about lifetime physical education. And this doesn't do that, and it does not address any of the concerns of scheduling or what's going to happen in school districts as they try to implement this and what kids will not be able to take as a result of this. Kids who are physically fit, some are not, but some who are. And if a parent, I guess I'd like to at least have the option then of having parents be able to opt out.
Senator Saltzman and members, there's a rule that we need to adjourn by 10 o'clock or we would have to pass a motion by two-thirds majority. So in the interest of time and having had this discussion in prior policy meetings, let's go ahead and vote on this. So Senator Saltzman renews her motion to amend. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
No. No. Motion does not pass.
Division?
All those in favor, raise your hand. Raise it high. Opposed, raise your hand. Oh, was it too fast?
Oh, yes.
I'm sorry.
Start over?
What do you probably?
Yeah. I apologize, members. We'll do it again.
Take the count on the opposed, and if you have enough, you know.
Too late. On Senator Saltzman's motion to amend, those in favor, raise your hand. Those opposed?
Does not prevail.
7-9. The motion does not pass. Senator Saltzman.
So I would like to move another amendment then, and that would be the A60 amendment.
Senator Saltzman moves the A60 amendment. Senator Saltzman.
Yes. Madam Chair, what this does is that it provides a school board shall, upon the written application of a parent or guardian, waive the requirement that the student complete the physical education requirement. This waiver shall not be construed as reducing the total credits required for graduation. So this provides some choice to parents who ultimately are responsible for their children. That if they look at their child's schedule and see that their child is going to have to give up perhaps a fourth year of math or a fourth year of some other academic course, or for whatever reason want to waive this requirement, that it would give the parent the choice of doing that.
Discussion, Senator Roebling.
I would like to support Senator Saltzman's amendment. You know, I had children that were three sport athletes as well, and we were fortunate we had a seven period day. So they could take a FIAD course in high school too. But if it comes down to it, and you know they're spending 3 hours after school in a physical activity basically year round, and then on weekends at tournaments and games and everything else, I guess that we should know that that's enough physical activity. And instead of requiring them to give up that math course or that band program or the choir program, that we as parents should be able to make that decision.
Okay. Senator Saltzman renews her motion on the A60 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion is passed. Senator Olson.
Madam Chair, I just have a simple oral amendment. I would like to move to amend Senate File 3001 with the lines 15.30 and 15.31 from 3631. It's a finance bill. Brief explanation. I was very honored that Senator Stumpf wanted this provision in the finance bill, but I didn't want to slight Senator Wieger, who also wanted it in the policy bill. So if I would appreciate if you would accommodate that, puts the state sport language in the policy bill. It's now in two budget divisions, which are going to get married tomorrow in finance. So
thank you, Senator
Madam Chair,
Olson.
This is
Senator Wieger.
This is a power play. I support it.
On Senator Olson's motion to amend, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is passed. Other amendments?
We just Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Scheid.
Madam Chair, did we take this out of?
Senator Scheid, no. Senator Scheid, we have now got the same language in both bills.
Okay.
Pulling the goalie.
Very unusual.
Oh, no.
No.
No, no. Okay. I arrange trick. I'm learning.
Thank you, Senator
Olson. Madam Chair,
yes, Senator Wieger.
If there's no other amendments, I would move that Senate File 3001, as amended, be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the Finance Committee.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Senator Wieger's motion is passed.
Okay, Madam Chair, for everyone that's participated, thank you. And procedurally, the bill that it should be aligning to in the House is House File 3316. And the anticipated timeline is that within the next couple of weeks, then it would go to Finance, and we'll see what happens.
Thank you. And members, thank you so much for your hard work, and thank you to Senator Stumpf and to Senator Wieger for their leadership and work on the committee. Thank you.
Meeting.
Let's thank the staff. Outstanding work by the staff. Thank you. you for those late nights. We greatly appreciate it.
As if they were over.
Anything else, Chair? Okay. Meeting is adjourned.
Getting out at a decent time.
Some of us are.
Exactly.
I'm glad it's not over.
Oh, that would have been easy.
Wow.
So, I think
when he and I chatted.